16 years, Terry Cheney was a successful entertainment lawyer in Los Angeles, but she was also working hard to hide a secret that she suffered from bipolar disorder or manic depression, as it's often called. She's chronicled her harrowing experiences from suicide attempts to arrest and hospitalization in a new memoir called Manic from William Morrow. It is my great pleasure to welcome her to the show. Hi.
Hi.
And judging from the story you tell here, congratulations for being here.
Thank you very much.
Because there's some pretty horrifying things that happened in your life. Bipolar is the newer term. Isn't it meant to be seen as less judgmental or prejudicial? You say you prefer to call it manic depression. Why?
I prefer manic depression because I think it tells it like it is. And I think that bipolar smacks of political correctness.
Even though you're going from one pole to the other?
But there's many places in between those two poles. I think there's something misleading about the notion that it's simply bipolar.
Have scientists figured out what causes it?
Well, we know it's genetic, but I don't think they're really, I don't think they've isolated a gene in particular, but no, there's no explanation.
It's genetic and then triggered, usually.
Correct.
When did you start experiencing extreme mood swings?
Well, I think I always knew that I was odd from the get-go, but I think when I was 16, I had a severe depressive episode that lasted about 21 days. I didn't get out of bed. So then I knew.
So people close to you were aware that something was going on?
Well, I was doing very well on the outside. I was class valedictorian. I was a cheerleader. I mean, it didn't look like anything was wrong. So I think people just thought I was eccentric.
Aren't many manic depressives diagnosed as simply depressed because that's what people notice first?
Well, that's the way they present to the doctors. It's very unfortunate. And the treatment for depression is quite different from the treatment for manic depression.
Uh-huh. And so when you were manic, you were just seen as somebody who was working on all cylinders.
And then some.
You dedicate the book to both of your parents, but your mother only makes a couple of brief appearances in this book, and your father can be rather disappointing.
Well, my mother is still alive, and I think it is, as you said earlier, a harrowing story, and I thought it was best to leave her out of it.
Everyone has ups and downs. What made you realize there was something really wrong, that what you were experiencing might be a form of mental illness?
Well, it's the severity and the duration for me of the mood swings. I become extremely high and extremely low. And, for example, not getting out of bed for 21 days. I don't think that's normal.
But then you finished high school. You went to college.
Yes,
you went
I did.
To law school.
Yes.
You became a lawyer. Were you fighting all of this all along?
Constantly, the whole time.
Did the manic phases help you in advancing your education and your career?
Well, there's a phase called hypomania, which is below mania, and you have your judgment. You don't take as many risks, but you're very euphoric and you're very productive and you're just extremely charismatic. And during the hypomanic phases, I can, you know, give me that and a lever and I can move the earth.
Mm. And you probably were appreciated as a really hard worker.
Yes.
How did you deal with the depressions?
The depressions are a different story. My depressions are very severe. I can't move is the hallmark of my depressions. So I would just make up excuses about being ill. I had more incidences of the flu than any person I can think of. I just would lie.
Mm-hmm. And when did you decide that you couldn't do this anymore and you needed to seek some treatment?
I think in 1994 was one of my worst times, or in 1997, rather. My father had died, and I just really had nothing left to live for, and I made a spectacular suicide attempt in Santa Fe.
And so you were treated for depression initially.
Yes, I was. I was treated for depression for many years before I was ever diagnosed as bipolar.
You mentioned hypomania. That's another mood. And then there's also mixed state.
Yes, that's the worst. That's combining mania and depression, the worst aspects.
At the same time?
Yes. You have this terrible energy, but all you want to do is destroy things, mostly yourself.
Are these distinctions something that have only been recently described?
No, I think they've been around for a while.
You were taking antidepressant medication because you were incorrectly diagnosed. How do antidepressants affect manic depressives? Do they help on any level?
Well, they can be helpful. Certainly, I've gotten some help from them in the past, but they're very dangerous for people who have what we call rapid cycling, where you cycle very quickly in between the different mood states. They can trigger rapid cycling, and that can be very, very dangerous and detrimental.
For a long time, lithium has been the basic drug used to deal with manic depression. Does it still work, or are there better drugs?
I'm still on lithium, but there are other drugs that are terrific as well. There are some great mood stabilizers out there. One in particular helped me, called Abilify.
From what I've heard from people who've had to deal with the problem, not every drug works with every person, and not every drug works with the same person. So you can be stabilized for a while, and then suddenly you discover that you are in serious trouble for a while.
That's certainly been my experience, where something would work and then it would just inexplicably stop working, and it's the most heartbreaking thing you can go through.
So is it a matter of just constantly adjusting?
It's fine-tuning all the time. I mean, even now, although I'm relatively stable, we're still tweaking the meds, as we call it.
You also underwent a course of electroshock or electroconvulsive therapy. Was that at all helpful?
Well, it was a last-ditch effort to rouse me from a severe depression, and I don't know
how. Well, doesn't it often make people manic?
It did make me manic, yes, it did.
So it exacerbated your condition.
But at the time, I had no choice, and I think that it, in the end, did help the depression. And it's very different today than it was when I had it done in 1994.
We often try to alert people who are bipolar that they have to stay on their meds. But you write about being arrested for driving while under the influence of your prescribed medications.
Yeah,
is it illegal to drive while you're taking drugs that you need to control this condition?
That was a shock to me, but it is illegal to drive under prescription medication if the police think that you're not driving correctly.
Did the police treat you like a drug abuser?
Yes.
And what about the fact that you were a lawyer? Did that help at all?
That made it worse because I knew what rights were being violated.
And you couldn't do anything about it?
No, I was actually beaten. It was a real eye-opener for me.
Why did they beat you?
Because I got manic. They wouldn't give me my medication, and I was held without a phone call for quite a long time.
So they thought beating you would keep you under control?
Well, I was demanding a phone call, and I guess I was very, as I said, I was very manic, and I probably was not the politest person on earth. So that's why they beat me.
Well, I guess impolite deserves a beating.
Well, not in my book, but...
Terry Chaney's book, Manic, a Memoir, is published by William Morrow. You also recount being hospitalized twice, once voluntarily and once involuntarily. What was the difference between those two experiences?
Well, the frustrating thing about the involuntary hospitalization is that I really hadn't tried to kill myself. I had taken too many drugs inadvertently, and I didn't really need to be there, but it was like being in jail.
Mm. So who decided to even hospitalize you?
That was just the hospital authority's decision.
Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody had to come and take you.
Yeah, I'm a little fuzzy on that, given that I took so many pills.
Uh-huh.
I can't really tell you.
Did you receive any treatment that helped you significantly?
At the hospital?
Yeah.
Well, I think just time made the biggest difference.
How long do the manic and depressive phases last in generally?
That's a very idiosyncratic issue. For me, I tend to go 4 days manic, 3 days depressed, 4 days manic, 3 days depressed.
You said that you were hospitalized because they said that you had attempted suicide, but you think it was just that you took too many drugs. But you do describe two deliberate suicide attempts, and
yes,
both times you were discovered in time.
Yes.
Was it difficult to write about those suicide attempts?
It was difficult at first, but the more that I got into it, it was incredible that I put it down on paper and I owned it, and it didn't own me anymore. So it really was liberating.
You also put yourself in danger because of your illness. I'm not going to go into a story here, but it's rather horrifying of a time when you trusted somebody that anybody under normal circumstances, would not have trusted.
Yes, this was when I was in Santa Fe, and I was in pretty much the worst depression I'd ever been in. And then I became manic, and I had no judgment, and I recklessly became friendly with someone who was quite frightening.
If you just looked at his tattoos, you would have known that he was not to be trusted. He had rather scary tattoos.
He had pornographic tattoos was what he had.
You also had eating disorders. Are they typical of bipolar?
Well, more and more, this is what I'm hearing. I'm just basing it empirically, but I think they are. I think there is something about the brain chemistry, the disturbance in the brain chemistry that typifies both disorders.
So when you're manic, you don't want to eat at all, and when you're depressed, all you want to do is eat?
Yes.
Do you think you're lucky to be alive?
It's incredible that I'm alive. I tried so hard to kill myself. I tried so many times, and it wasn't just cries for help. It was severe, serious attempts, and I think I am extraordinarily lucky to be here.
Do you think you passed that? I'm writing this book. Did that
help at
all?
Well, you know, that's the one thing you can't say with a disease where it's going to go tomorrow. That's why it takes a lot of courage to live with it, frankly, because right now I've been stable for about 5 years. I haven't had a manic episode in at least 5 years. It's hard to say what person will greet me in the mirror tomorrow morning.
You also describe your relationships with men as usually ending because of your condition. Has it become any easier?
It's always difficult because I think my disorder comes first before the relationship. I have to filter out a lot to get to a relationship.
Are you still working as a lawyer?
I don't really practice anymore. I'd like to write full time.
And did you write this? I know you're also writing a novel about a bipolar lawyer.
Yes.
Obviously based on your experiences. What's the difference between it and this memoir?
Well, the memoir is really based on things as I remember them. It's true to the extent that I remember the incidences. The novel, of course, has more fictionalization in it.
Do you think that the general public doesn't know enough about this subject of manic depression?
Well, the response I've gotten to my book has convinced me that it's really more widespread than even I thought was possible. So I think there's much less stigma than there used to be, but there's still a lot, and it needs a familiar face.
Well, you're very candid. Some of the scenes aren't pretty at all, but the book is also entertaining.
Oh, thank you.
Were you worried about glamorizing this condition?
That was simply my life.
So there were funny things. Well, you were an entertainment lawyer.
Right. So, there was a little tinge of glamour, I suppose, to that.
And you also, I'm sure, were thinking when you were thinking about clients as to whether something was more entertaining than not, realizing that is a way that your clients had to appeal to the general public.
That's true.
It's written in a series of episodes. The chronology isn't always clear. Was that intentional?
Yes, that came about because I really wanted to enter into the skin, enter into the disease, and show it from the inside out. I wanted people to have a visceral response to this book. So for me, I don't see the world chronologically at all. I see it in terms of moods. What mood was I in? You know, oh, that was 1994. I was manic. So I wrote it as a series of moods.
And you also said earlier that you're not always clear as to what was happening at any given time. That must make it a little difficult to even tell a story like this.
It is hard. I mean, there is a part of my brain that's a lawyer's brain, though, so I was able to I researched and really tried to be as logical as I could about what I discovered.
Do you think that this would make a good film? After all, you know a lot of people in the business.
Well, it's actually been bought by HBO as a series. That's news. That's fresh news.
And a series.
Yeah, series.
Because there have been a number of films about manic depressives. And I doubt that any of them there's either been the snake pit type, or there have been it isn't all that bad. These are people who have a certain kind of a problem, but it can be handled if they just take their medications.
Well, my dream is that manic could be shown as a more of a universal experience, because I do think, I tend to think almost everybody's bipolar in one respect or another. I mean, it's just a matter of degree.
Well, we have our ups and our downs, correct, but there's a big difference. You call the book manic, not manic depressive.
True.
Because manic is the more dominant one in your case?
I think manic is just what appeals to people more. People think it's fun, which it really isn't.
Well, I remember the old days, I used to call somebody a manic depressive manic or manic depressive depressive. But you suggest that there's just a spectrum, and
it is
that
a
we
spectrum.
Should recognize that spectrum. By the way, Terry Chaney will be giving a talk and signing books tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Borders Bookstore at Columbus Circle. The book is called Manic, a Memoir. It is published by William Morrow. And I want to thank you so much for coming on our show today.
Thank you.